It's a story about memory. It's a story about the nature of beauty, how beauty and love can be both a double-edged sword and cut in two directions. It's about identity and, you know, trying to hold to who you are.
That's Samuel Satin, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Samuel Satin is an American writer whose books include Buzzing, SideQuest, and The Silent End. He co-authored A Kid's Guide to Anime and Manga and The Essential Anime Guide, 50 iconic films, standout series, and cult masterpieces. And among his many other credits, he also adapted the Academy Award-nominated films Wolfwalkers, Song of the Sea, and Secret of Kells to the graphic novel format. And he joins us to talk about Unico Awakening. Samuel, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about this book, Unico. You've taken this character, which actually was originated by someone else, and brought it to life again in this latest graphic novel. So tell us about the original Unico and its creator.
Yeah, sure. So Unico was created by Osamu Tezuka, who's known as the god of manga, both in Japan and abroad. He is kind of responsible for the creation of the entire manga and anime industry, which is, as many of your listeners may know, is incredibly popular today, probably with either you or your kids, et cetera. And he was the one who started the entire process. And he created Unico in 1976, on a trip to Los Angeles that he took. And he created it for Sanrio, actually, in partnership with Sanrio, as a way to reach what he hoped at the time would be American readers. So he actually tried to publish it in a way that would be read from left to right instead of right to left. And he published it in full color, which is also kind of unusual for manga. He was a little bit ahead of his time, I think, in 1976, because today, manga and anime are incredibly popular mediums and everybody loves it. But, you know, in the 70s, I don't think people were quite ready for it yet. And the character itself of Unico basically was created as a character who, you know, his main superpower is to spread love and kindness and hope and things like that. And doing so attracts the ire of a vengeful goddess, the goddess Venus, who becomes jealous of his power to inspire humanity, and because of that, tries to have him destroyed, essentially, by having one of his servants abandon him on what's called the Hill of Forgetfulness. And so he'll just kind of like forget who he is and end up kind of wandering for eternity. And her servant, the West Wind, takes pity on him and decides instead to hide him through space and time. And she has to wipe his memory, though, because whenever he remembers who he is, his powers will awaken, and he draws the eye of the goddess again. So it's kind of a story about a character who, you know, is always going through time and helping people and helping, you know, his new friends, only to forget again his good deeds and have to do it again in order to escape this vengeful goddess. And so that's kind of the story of Unico. And from the 70s in the time he was created.
So from what I understand, manga is in Japan really popular with all ages, but here in the United States is for some reason been older readers who've been attracted to it. So this, as I understand it, is an attempt to try to bring manga to a younger audience.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's actually interesting because now in the United States, because you're right, historically it was for older, you know, readers got really into manga and anime, but now a lot of younger readers are getting drawn towards it as well. So if you go into a Barnes & Noble, you see a bunch of like teens sitting on the ground reading manga and the manga, they're gigantic manga sections. But the issue is, as you said, is like, you know, if you talk to librarians, they'll say like, well, we have 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds who are always asking to read manga. They want manga. They want it. But we can't send them home with something that's going to be, you know, again, their parents might look at it and be like, why are you giving this to my children? It's too violent or it's too suggestive or what it happens to be, because it draws the eye so much and it's so popular that, you know, you want to be careful. So So yeah, this is an attempt to provide that kind of larger kind of meatier story that has all the hallmarks of manga for an 8 to 12-year-old audience. So for a younger audience, so that it is a younger audience is able to read it without any kind of fear of crossing any overly suggestive or overly violent material.
So it's age appropriate for 8 to 12 years old, but I imagine that adults could also read it.
100%. Yeah, we have a lot of people so far, a lot of adults who are really big fans. It's a story for everybody. Despite the cuteness of the character, it's a larger adventure story that's going to go on for multiple volumes.
As you point out, it looks like it's just this cute character, but there are actually layers to the story that one could look at. You know, what does this really mean and what are the implications and the themes that it explores?
It's about a character who is attempting to find out who he is and who he used to be. He's been kind of batted around by these cosmic forces, and he's trying. And so it's a story about memory. It's a story about the nature of beauty, how beauty and love can be both a double-edged sword and cut in two directions. It's about identity and, you know, trying to hold to who you are. It's a larger story than, it's a more thematically complex story, I think, than one might assume from looking at it. It's not My Little Pony. It's something far more developed than that. It's also epic in scale. We have a larger character arc going on in the background. It's going to go on for multiple volumes. And there are some larger enemies and kind of obstacles for Unico to overcome throughout the series.
I'm curious about the manga art form itself. What are sort of the characteristics of that art form that set it apart? So a person would recognize this as manga as opposed to just some other sort of graphic novel.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things is basically, well, manga is the Japanese word for comics, essentially. So when we think about manga, what we're really thinking about are comics that come out or originate from Japan. So there's a lot of stylistic elements. There are some storytelling elements. There are some, you know, design conventions, things like that. But the one thing that, and so the reason why this is, you know, a manga is because we collaborate with a larger Japanese team. So, for example, the artist team, who are my co-creators in the series and my collaborators, their name is Gurihiru. They are located outside of Tokyo at a place called Saitama. They're absolutely and totally brilliant. And we work together with them and with Tezuka Productions, which is the company that's the namesake of Osamu Tezuka. So it's kind of more than just kind of taking a story and our character and kind of reinventing it within the American context or Western context. This is a truly, you know, collaborative project. It's cross-cultural, and we are really trying to honor the original material and the way in which that material is created. So that's kind of the way in which we look at this as manga, because that's really all it means. It just means kind of there's stylistic elements for sure, but it is essentially comics that are heavily inspired or come out of Japan.
So this has been a labor of love for you. This is a project that you had to look to crowdsourcing to help make happen. Tell us about that.
It was definitely a labor of love. In 2019, I was afforded the ability to give an open pitch to Tezuka Productions for one of their characters. I wasn't, you know, sure what character to choose, but I was a huge fan of Tezuka and had been for a very long time. His work inspires me unlike any other. And so they told me that they had been looking for, you know, for a long while to do something with the character Unico. And so I went back and reread the book and I watched the films and I decided to go ahead and provide a pitch for the character that could be, I thought it was such an important story that just needed to be retold for a new generation of readers. So I went and pitched the story, and to my great shock, they accepted the pitch. And from there we decided, now we have this thing that we can do. And, oh my God, it's incredible. How are we going to bring it to the world? And my thought was at the time was that, well, we could bring it to publishers, directly to publishers, and try to, you know, get somebody to put it out there. But I thought that in order for it to really have a full effect upon the world, it had to be kind of seen in order to be believed. It had to be shown just how, you know, much, first of all, so many people were, you know, love this character and want this character to come back. Second of all, just how, you know, how interesting the story was, because I think I was thinking a lot of publishers would look at it and be like, oh, it's cute. It's like My Little Pony, but why? You know? So then when we put together the Kickstarter, we got other artists involved from, you know, a variety of backgrounds, mostly out of Japan, to do artist prints and things like that. And we did a Kickstarter, and it was successful. And from there, my agent pitched after we had funded Kickstarter, my agent pitched the story out, and we thought maybe we'll get the book published somewhere on the shelves. And to our great amazement, Scholastic decided they saw eye to eye with our vision, and they gave us a larger series deal to work with, and made our dreams come true. So from there, it's been incredible.
And now that Scholastic has picked you up, as you mentioned, there will be more adventures with Unico. So what's next?
Unico Hunted comes out in June of 2025. And though I won't give away too much, I'll say that Unico wakes up in a strange and nearly abandoned city run by an entity that is not human, but thinks it is, and thinks it is the mother to a young girl in the city who needs a lot of help. Thankfully, Unico is going to be there to try to do so.
This manga graphic novel is Unico Awakening by Samuel Satin, the first in a series of books featuring the character Unico. Samuel, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.